Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Cologne Podcast.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Ryan.
We're two best friends. We're going on a fragrance journey.
Woo!
Smelling fragrances and giving you those uneducated opinions. And apparently Mario sound bites as well.
Hello, we got a special one today. It's kind of a twofer at the same time.
Yeah, it's an on the house and a special interview where we had friend of the podcast, FragDude85, and this has been a long time, and we apologize to Grant for this, but here it is now, the long-awaited debut. We're going to answer some of the questions he had for us, talk about a few different things, and smell commodities discovery stuff. Yeah, you know, because it's what you do.
Before the show, lots of energy, Ryan. Fucking bring it.
And I'm like, I don't know, discovery sets?
Yeah, you bought this discovery set a while back, didn't you?
Like a year ago.
And he's been wanting to smell it. And it's not on this one, but I have smelled one of their stuff. You had given me wool, which you've talked about on other episodes.
Yeah.
You didn't really care for too much. And I'm going to be real with you, Mike. I only sprayed it the one time that you gave it to me. I smelled it that day.
Well, bring it back. We'll give it to a lucky Patreon.
Yeah.
Because
they'll love that.
We had a lady friend of the podcast tell us, oh, if somebody wears that around me and it's done, I can't be around them. That's just one. It's too sexy of a fragrance. I was like, well, and here's how they cheat you. It's not in the discovery set. So I was like, damn, it must be good.
Yeah.
And I bought it, and I was like, eh.
Yeah, I was even less than a meh.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
I was not turned on.
Yeah, I was shocked. Very turned off by it.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and start smelling these, and then we'll introduce our first segment into the interview.
Okay, let's get started. Let's start with two. You do one, I do one.
Okay. I'll go with book.
And I guess by default, I will go with gold.
Yeah.
Because in everything in life, you get to choose first.
Gold.
It also came with its own
tester strips.
Yeah, that are labeled. We're not going to spray these on us right now, right?
Oh, no. No, we're not. Okay. Although, book. Uh-oh.
Just stop, dude.
No, I'm serious.
Whoa. 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 Oh, way. Hey.
It's just a fragrance, dude.
I'm going to see what you think it smells like.
Gold kind of smells okay. It's all right.
Tell me what I'm passing book over to Ryan.
And I'm passing gold to you.
Tell me if this smells like something you've smelled before.
What is that? We have smelled this before. Hold on. What the fuck is it?
Smells like Santel 33.
Oh, my God. It does.
A lot like it. I'm shocked.
I don't think it's as loud.
No, it's not like one-to-one, but that's kind of close. What does gold smell like?
It just kind of, I don't know.
Kind of sweet.
Yeah, kind of like you're in purgatory. You don't know really where it's going. Just sitting there in limbo.
I feel like I need to spray a little bit more on here.
Go for it. It's
going quick. Although I did get like the lowest concentration version. They have like two or three different concentrations. Instead of doing like a EDP, EDT sort of a thing, they do like a proximity of fragrance.
Okay.
I don't know what gold smells like. It smells good. Kind of sweet smelling.
I guess this is kind of tapping in what you were just saying. Introducing, this is a booklet that came with it. I feel like we should talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
Introducing Scent Space.
Yeah, Scent Space. TM.
Doing away with old industry jargon. You know, that's why we use scent. Doing away with the whole industry jargon, we've created Scent Space to give you greater control over the intensity and projection of your scent. Each commodity fragrance is available in three different Scent Space concentrations: personal, expressive, and bold.
You would be bold. I would be probably either personal or...
I think it's expressive, actually, for you.
You think so?
Yeah, you've been liking a little bit of that projection where somebody's walking up to you and going, hey, what are you wearing?
Well, everybody likes a compliment, Ryan. Jesus. Gold's pretty good. I don't know what it smells like. It smells sweet and generic, though.
Yeah, book just smells like Santel 33's little brother.
Yeah, it's actually a surprisingly good dupe. for that. Well, that may be one we have to spray on and see what it acts like, because that could be an alternative.
So apparently you got the Expressive collection. So this is middle of the road, everything.
Oh, yeah. Projection, that makes sense. Right? That makes sense.
Let me read a little bit about Book for you.
Okay.
This crisp, woody fragrance tips its hat to the Hemingways and Fitzgeralds of the world. Really? Didn't Hemingway blow his fucking brains out?
Probably.
Okay. So that's nice. Conjuring the warmth of a quiet moment curled up with a good book, or that sweet silence after you've blown your head off.
Yeah, maybe.
That doesn't say that in here, by the way.
He's ad-libbing some things.
Oh, my God.
You're discouraging all the future authors out there.
It's complex blend of sparkling bergamot, spicy cypress, and creamy sandalwood. Mm. That's majority of it. Results in an unexpectedly fresh scent.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's all right.
What about gold, Ryan?
Gold, rich enough to bathe in. I don't know about that.
Mm.
This decadent fragrance is an intoxicating journey to one's innermost desires, thoughts, and impulses. Its warm, gourmand scent is a luxurious blend of molten amber.
Whoa, 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 commodity. Let's get rid of that industry jargon, gourmand.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot of a lot of things going on here, guys.
Yeah.
Let's see. Blend of molten amber, creamy sandalwood, and sweet vanilla. I guess I kind of smell the vanilla.
I was about to say. Yeah, I kind of get that.
Yeah. So far, I'm like, they're not bad. They're not bad.
Yeah. I mean, they're no king of niche so far.
Yeah.
Which, why don't we go ahead and jump into our first segment with Grant FragDude85 from Instagram, where he asked us how we feel about Creed and those king of niche fragrances that they make.
Hit the play button, Todd.
What is your take on the House of Creed? Because I read the Ghost Perfumer book.
Okay.
And if you haven't read it, you need to, but they kind of are a big scam, you know.
Oh, Creed?
And yeah, because they say that they made perfumes for like French kings back in like the 1770s and all that, when in fact they really didn't start making actual fragrances to like the late 50s, early 60s.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
You know, and it started out as mainly being just catered to celebrities. Celebrities could only buy it. And kind of word got out, you know, when you would ask a celebrity what they were wearing, they would say, by Creed, you know, and they'd be like, well, who is Creed? You know, and then,
right.
But all of their, like, for instance, the Mont Blanc Individuel, they copied that fragrance as Royal Santal. That's a clone of Individuel.
Yeah, I remember us smelling that.
And they definitely are close.
They are pretty similar, yeah.
In fact, I have Mont Blanc Individuel.
Yeah, see, yeah, that came out first. And Creed put theirs out like a few months or a year after. So they copied it. It was to get back from when the guy did Cool Water and he copied the Green Irish Tweed.
God, we need to smell Cool Water, dude. We have that.
And we got a bottle of it.
Why have we not smelled
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But pretty much, if you read that book, it goes into the whole, like, background is totally fake.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because just this past week, I put that in my shopping cart on Amazon.
Oh.
I was going to order. Book? I wasn't going to get the hard copy. I was going to get the, like, for the whatever, Kindle or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Or you can do, like, I think there may be an audio version of it. I don't know. But
that would be my speed.
That's what I was wanting to do because I hate, like, physically reading. But I was wanting to read it for real because I was thinking back to our Jack Fat episode.
The Vetiver Green.
But I've been wanting to, you know, read that book. So I'm definitely going to check that out. But kind of speaking about Creed, it's funny, like, I mean, I'm just going to keep all the history part of it out because I haven't read the book or know everything to, you know, weigh in on it. But I will say, at first, we loved it. And then we kind of went through a phase of, man, it feels a little overpriced.
Yeah.
And we felt like we weren't getting enough out of the juice to justify it. And now it's kind of like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, I guess. I don't know. I don't like hate the brand. I mean, I definitely love Creed Aventus. We smell it now and I'm like, it lasts longer than I thought it did initially.
I wore it yesterday.
It's incredible.
Yeah. For me, maybe I should care more about the brands, but I think I've gone through this roller coaster ride of like, maybe at the beginning, I didn't know anything about the brands and I was just interested in the fragrances.
Yeah.
And then I got really interested in the fragrances and the brands. And now I'm kind of coming back down to where I'm just like, let me just smell it. If it smells great, I'm excited about it. Yeah. If it doesn't, I'm not. And I have found myself less loyal to brands now. But early on, that was like our Porsche, Lamborghini, whatever. We thought that, you know, Creed was the top of the line because that is like the most known niche brand.
I will say, out of all the brands so far that we've bought stuff from, as far as customer service goes, like, I guess the initial, like, upfront, theirs has not been top. Because when I ordered just a sample Discovery set, like, three fragrances, it was like $30.
Yeah.
I didn't get, like, a typed up note. I literally got a handwritten note that had thought and, like, hey, we can help you with this, blah, blah, blah. And it was very, very nice. I was like, that's pretty good customer service. I don't know. I guess I don't have really anything too bad to say about them other than their price is a little much.
Well, what do you think about a brand that does that, that completely makes up the backstory? Do you care about that?
Partially, yeah, I guess. I mean, but then again, I am like you. Like, I just want the fragrance to smell good. I don't care if they told me they wrote episodes for Barney. You know? As long as the fragrance smells good for me, that's just kind of how I feel. I don't care.
Yeah. What about you, Grant? Did you feel like a little disenfranchised with them after hearing they kind of...
Yeah, kind of. Because, I mean, to me, it's kind of like false advertising. Because it's kind of that way. I mean, yeah... I like Aventus and I do like, like Silver Mountain Water, but I'm not ever going to buy it. I'll have it in like sample form, but I'm not going to like justify like paying their ridiculous prices.
Yeah. Never full retail. I would never buy a Creed bottle at full retail.
Never. I wouldn't either. I guess that says enough about it too.
Yeah.
The most expensive fragrance that I own right now is Leighton by Parfums de Marly.
Okay.
And I paid retail for it.
Cool. Gotcha. Oof.
That's such a good fragrance.
That is good. But, oh, man. It's like there's discounters out there. You get it for like half that.
Well, I wanted to just make sure it was the legit real deal.
Gotcha. Yeah.
If I'm spending that much money, you know, I want to be sure it's like the real thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, that one's going to last you a minute too, because you really don't have to go crazy with that.
No, that is such a good fragrance. It's one of my favorites that we've discovered through the podcast here.
I'm going to circle back around to Creed too, because I feel like that Aventus, man, everybody's been nipping at the heels of that thing without any sort of success. I mean, Explorer, it's not bad, but it's not Aventus either.
No.
You know, there's
Club de Nuit, Men in Tents or whatever. It's good, but it's not anywhere close to Aventus, at least us.
Right. There's just something about it that they hit a freaking home run with that bad boy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to top it. And it is, I may sound like a poser here, but it is one of my favorite fragrances that I've ran into.
It's surprisingly good. Again, me personally, I've shat on it for not lasting long at all, but he'll walk in. And hell, all day long, I'll be like, man, it smells so damn good. What are you wearing? All the time. So it lasts way longer than I thought.
Yeah. And it's pricey juice. So I'm not going too ham on it, you know?
In fact, Will's a family friend of ours. Mm-hmm. I was over there hanging out with him the other day and I gave him a couple of decants, but he was telling me, man, what's that one y'all got me to wear that day? He's like, I smell like a boss. I was like, oh, that's probably, was it Creed Aventus? He goes, yeah, Creed Aventus. I was like, yeah, that one's a good one.
There's affordable ways to get it too. I get mine 30 mil at a time from Mark over at my fragrance samples.
Yeah, we've got one right now.
Yep, the top dresser. In the shelf over there, like the little spritz on every once in a while.
You guys like a batch people?
No.
Do you care if it's like the old batch or the new batch or whatever?
We did an episode on that Dolce & Gabbana, the original one.
Yeah.
We had a gentleman send us in an OG vintage decant of it. And to me, it's like, as Jerry Jones would say, it's like circumcising a mosquito. I really can't tell that much of a difference.
I could on that.
Really?
Could you? I mean, but I wore D&G Pour Homme for a decade.
Yeah.
As my main fragrance. And then smelling the vintage one, yeah, there was definitely some really? More to it.
I couldn't
yeah.
tell.
Yeah, but I bought a bottle. Well, I bought Intenso, which is like the EDP version of it. But I wouldn't go out and try to find and buy that vintage, man. It's just, it's too expensive. And for me, I already operate on like a scarcity mindset where if I see, you know, a dent in the bottle, I'm like, oh no, I'm running out. I couldn't live that way of chasing after the batches all the time.
I think the best way to kind of like, I guess to summarize it for us and like, how we kind of look at things is, you know, we understand like camera gear really well and like looking at stuff. There's a thing in that industry, it's called pixel peeping. And it's like you take an image, they're both shot at whatever, 1080p or 4K, right?
Yeah.
And they zoom in 200% and then they're like, oh, see, this one runs a little bit more red in this imagery than this one.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at it from far back, it's really not that much different. Both cameras do really well. They perform, they do what they're supposed to do. And that's why I call it pixel people, because you're like, you're having to like really go in there and really dig to
you're
find
having
a difference.
To really look.
Yeah. And that's how I kind of feel about batch codes, man.
I feel the same way. I feel like between dupes or clones and the original, you don't have to zoom in too far to see some of the differences. There's some out there that I actually prefer the clone over the original. But to me, it's like this. I'm going to give you a little personal story. This is my version of why if I can't wear it, I'm not going to buy it. If I'm afraid to wear it, I won't buy it. Is because, and you remember this car, Ryan, my dream car growing up from a wee little lad for the longest time was a 1965 Pontiac GTO.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted one. As long as I can remember vehicles, I thought that was the sexiest car.
It was a good looking
car. And so I saved up and I dreamed about it. And at one point, a 1965 black, the one I wanted, went on sale on an auction across the country. And I spent the money to buy the body. It was all rusted out because it was in the Northeast. They salt the roads over time. That wears out the bottom. So I pay for this body. I get it shipped, get it dropped off. I do some tinkering work on it. I turn it over to some guys who are really good at working on cars. They build it up. And so I'm in this car about 40 grand, but it doesn't have AC. It, you know, it's hard to really drive around where we're at. It was low to the ground. We're in the country.
Yeah.
So I could only drive it every once in a while when the weather was perfect, when it was cold, but it wasn't raining, you know, and I would only drive it to the gas station. But if I drove it to the gas station, then it was like if I filled up, people are always like wanting to talk to me for 2 hours about the car. I got to a point where I couldn't drive the thing. And I ended up selling it because I was like, I just see it sitting here in my garage.
Yeah.
I'm not driving it. I'm not enjoying it. It's just there. I've spent all this money on it. And now I'm afraid to drive it. And so I sold it. And that is such a big scale thing for me. But I zoom out into fragrances. I will not buy a bottle of anything if I feel like I'm paying so much that I'm afraid to wear it. Yeah. I want any fragrance I buy, I want to be able to wear all day long. And if I can't drive it, then I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm with you on that. And to back this story up, from all this time that I've known him, and when he did have that car, he drove it one time around me. And that was for a little video we were wanting to do. That was it. That's the only time I ever saw it running.
And that, it popped a transmission leak.
Oh, yeah.
And we ended up not even being able to use it for the video. Had to bring it back to the house and fix the hose. Like, okay. So
it was it the Judge version?
No. So this was a 65. The Judge was like the 68, 69s, that body style. This was like a one-off body. So they had a 64, and then the 65 was like a little bit boxier version. I mean, it's a super boxy body, but it was like probably one of the boxiest versions of the GTO.
Mm.
And I just love that boxed body look. It's got that big booty in the back. I love that. So, yeah, I was obsessed with the car, but it was a hassle. I couldn't really drive it. And it was like a giant pile of money sitting in my garage. Before, I thought, if I get this car, and I'm going to be existential here for a second. I thought leading up to getting this car, I was like, man, I will be happy if I get this dream car,
yeah,
I've wanted this car forever, it's going to say something to me. It's going to say that I've been successful. It's going to say that I've achieved this thing that I've wanted for so long. I put blood, sweat, and tears into it. It's going to show that I am a mechanic and I and I can make you proud, Dad, you know. All these things.
Was your secondary dream to be a mechanic when you got older?
No, but my mom and dad were both mechanics, by the way. They just loved cars more than me. But so I get this vehicle and I thought, oh, this thing will make me happy. And then it sits in the garage and I never drive it. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't. So I am a little bit like, I'm not going to say jaded, but I'm not chasing after some of these bottles to fulfill some sort of like false promise that they're giving. That is a good thing about the Fragrance Apprentice's video that he made not too long ago. He was talking about like the false promise given by the fragrance industry in general. And
you're going to get laid and all this stuff.
Yeah, it does work really well for young guys.
You think so?
I think it does because they haven't done that thing yet. They haven't chased after, like me, for example, they haven't chased after that dream and they attain the dream and then they realize if I'm not a happy person already, I won't be happy once I've got this glowing piece of object that I've been chasing for so long.
I just don't see, right. No, I just don't see it working for people. I think it's just, it's you, the person. I just think it is. And then it's that thing that's part of you that somebody goes, oh, I like him and he smells good.
Well, yeah, that's 100% it. But it's like the guy who's naturally charismatic, who's great looking.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like, you know, every time I spray a fragrance on and I go out, for whatever reason, I'm, you know,
getting
lucky. And you're going, I don't even think you need the fragrance, man. It'll look great. But he's going to tell everybody, it's because I wear a Sauvage. Yeah. This has got to be the reason.
It's like Tom Cruise wore peepee fragrance. And if, man, I keep getting compliments with this. Tom Cruise, dude.
Yeah, for sure. You know? 100%.
I'm confident Tom Cruise could wear piss and still pick somebody up.
Well, it's like the people who say Brad Pitt like smells terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard that about Post Malone. It kind of makes sense. He's kind of like rough looking, you know, like you just get out of bed all the time, probably hit like a bong rip or something. But
yeah, 100%. I don't get
that. Really, Brad Pitt supposed to not smell good?
Look, I've never smelled the guy. I'm just saying.
One of my favorite episodes that you guys did was when you guys reviewed Zoologist T-Rex.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't smelled it yet, but...
You got to.
But like,
you're not the first person to bring that episode up. It is, let me just warn you, get you a sample of it.
And one tiny little spray is going to do you good.
Look, zoologists themselves sell like little small decant. Just get that and be careful because I'm not kidding you. We did that episode. And when we got done with it, he was like, his back was turned to me and he was like probably 10 feet away from me working on the computer. And I was like, just wanting to smell it again. I took the cap off of it, but I actually spilled it all over my hands. That shit is nuclear. I was like nauseous. It was so freaking intense.
Yeah, that's one. Look, there are fragrances out there that are a dime a dozen, but this is not one of those. This is one of the fragrances, and I think they slowly make the rounds in the community where people find ones that's like, if you love experiencing fragrances,
yeah,
you've got to smell this one. You've got to smell T-Rex.
We've said this before, but we go to Dallas every once in a while. We go to this place called the Scent Room. And there they have every bottle ever of everything. And you can spray whatever you want. You can test whatever
except
T-Rex. Yeah. T-Rex, they have the atomizer pulled off of it. They won't let anybody spray it.
Because it will fumigate the whole business.
I recommend it, though. I want you to try it. Go out and try it. And I want you to reach back out to us and let us know.
Yes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a moment with more Frag Dude 85. But first, we need to get our sniffers on velvet.
I'll let you do the honors there.
Yeah, since you're reading the Bible.
From here, it looked like you did nothing but miss that cardstock with every spray. Did you actually hit it?
Yeah.
Okay, I see a little bit on it. Let me read this while you're smelling it.
Okay.
Or actually, God, let me actually smell that.
Yeah, it smells like there's a kind of Turkish rose vibe going on.
Hmm. Man, that one from here smells pretty good. When I get up close to it, it's like it kind of like it gets muted for some reason. It's one of those kind of fragrances. Man, from afar, though, when you just sprayed it, that smelled pretty catchy, dude.
Yeah.
Let's see what they say about Velvet and their commodity Bible pamphlet that was handed.
I'm kind of shocked so far. Velvet and Book smell high-end.
Yeah.
And not so generic. Gold, on the other hand, it's kind of hard to really do something brand new with vanilla, but
yeah. Well, Velvet, Mike, mysterious and elegant. This fragrance invokes the pure indulgence of a soft texture meeting bare skin. Mm. Its woody, ambery blend features roasted almond, rose petals.
Okay.
And black amber.
Ooh, black amber.
What the hell?
That sounds dark and warm, like velvet.
Man, why can't some people just hire us to be their, like, what do you call it, like, strategists or something? What the fuck is this?
I don't know.
Oh, strategists or something? We'd be, like, tearing everything apart. Oh, this one's called Velvet. I don't know. Kind of smells kind of...
velvety. Yeah, the uneducated opinion in full force today.
Hey, but good call on the rose, though.
I was kind of picking up a little rosy.
He has not looked at this book. It seems so close to the skin, though, when I smell it on the card.
Well, you're probably looking for bold, then, as far as a scent space goes, Ryan.
Yeah, this is the expressive pack. Good God. Wow. Okay, so, yeah, that's Velvet. It doesn't smell bad. It's a great smell.
Yeah.
But it softened so quickly.
Well, Velvet is pretty soft, Ryan.
I guess that is a good point. You know what isn't soft, though, Mike?
What's that?
Our next segment.
Yeah. If you thought that handling six different commodity fragrances was a lot of fragrances to handle, wait till you get a hold of this next segment where we talk about how many fragrances is too many fragrances.
Hit that fucking play button again, Todd.
Do you guys have like a number of like, because I get into discussions with people about how many fragrances is too many fragrances? Because like I see people online like Jensen's who have like 1,000 bottles of fragrances. And
right.
And I'm like, there's no way in your entire lifetime you're going to go through every single bottle of it. So like your kids, grandkids will like still have all these because like there's no way that you can go through all of them, you know?
For me, I think everybody's different. You said you had, 50. I think you said 50 bottles.
Yeah.
And this isn't even being ugly to you about that at all. But I think it's just, it varies the person. For me, 50 would be crazy.
We actually have an episode going out next Monday. We actually use 50 as a number where Ryan was like, I could wear 50. I would struggle to figure out what I would choose to wear at 50. Not saying that 50 is a bad number, but I think it is an individual thing for sure.
For sure.
But I think there is also an inherent issue in collecting really anything. And here I go. I'm going to be super cerebral again about this. But
you used to collect stamps.
Not that at all. But there was a study that they did on income.
Okay.
I read this book, and it's actually by a guy who does another podcast. But there's a book called Happy Sexy Millionaire. And he talks about what makes people happy. And it's a difficult chase. But he talked about where they interviewed people from $100,000 a year up to deca millionaires and people who made hundreds of million dollars a year. Okay. Yeah. So they interview all these people and each person gives nearly the exact same answer. It doesn't matter how much money they made that year. They said, if I could make 2 to 3 times the amount of money that I make, then I would be happy with my income. And so the person who made $100,000 a year said, if I could make $200,000 or $300,000 a year, I'd be happy. Then the person who made $200,000 or $300,000 a year said, if I could make $600,000 or $900,000 up to $1 million, the guy said, if I could make $2 or $3 million, the guy who made $3 million, if I could make $9 million. So it was always this thing of where we thought more is enough.
Yeah.
But the problem is, more is never enough.
Yeah.
So it's really, I admire people who are able to have smaller collections, because to me in fragrance, it's more about finding the fragrances that really speak to who you are. That's why we love sampling and we love myfragrancesamples.com. Be sure to go get you a decant and you get a free sample with every order. That's why we love sampling.
I swear to God, there's no cha-ching sound effects going on over here.
But for real, because get 5 mil and figure out what fragrance works with you, that really works with you. Wear it a couple of times. How do the people around you respond to the fragrance? Does it feel like you? And then get you, and I don't care if they're $3,000 a bottle, but if you find 5 or 6 really good fragrances, and not to, this episode will have gone out by the time our interview with you goes out, but you'll hear in that episode, we talk about signature scents. Yeah. And it's like sometimes finding fragrances that work with you and really expand on who your personality is, I feel like is the win. That should be the chase going. There are millions of fragrances out there. And instead of having a bottle of each one, having a bottle of the 5, the 10, the 20, the 50, who cares, whatever works for you, that really speak to who you are and let others know that when you walk in the room, this is letting them know more about you by the aura you put out scent wise. That's my thing. So I'm like, I'm actually fighting harder to shrink my collection. And you can ask, I've given Forbes a box of bottles, nice bottles. I gave him the Parfum version of Bleu de Chanel.
That, a Zherzhoff,
the
John Varvatos XX.
Yeah. So it's like I've given away tons of bottles that are really great fragrances, but I'm really searching for, you know, like these guys that do videos for 10 for life. That's what I'm really looking for. And then once I find those, I'm happy with sampling till I find the one that's like, I've got to have a bottle of this.
Yeah. I have 3 or 4. I actually, minus one, because I gave Will my Luna Rosa Carbon yesterday.
Right.
I only have like literally probably 3 or 4 right now. And that's it. And I still have an issue
finding I tried to buy that bottle off of him. So I think that speaks a little bit to how close you're getting to Will these days.
Maybe. You're irreplaceable, just so you know.
Thanks. What about you, Grant? What is the number for you?
I don't know. I guess there's not really a specific number, but it's mainly, it's a quest to kind of find the right one, you know?
Right. Like,
the one to rule them all.
Yeah.
Riveting stuff.
Yeah. You know how we do it, Ryan?
Always.
All right. Next in line is Moss. And Cynthia actually had good things to say about Moss.
Really? What'd she say?
I don't remember. She had good things to say. I remember that. All right. Here we go.
Are we expecting earthy?
Yeah.
Didn't you say moss is kind of sweet smelling? Didn't you like pick some moss off a tree for when you're like, don't smell but touch things or whatever?
Oh, no. But we did...
You posted a picture of moss.
Oak moss.
Yeah,
we got it out there. Then I like rubbed it around in my hands like this.
And what did it smell like?
Dirt. Get a whiff of that.
Interesting. Not what I thought it was going to smell like at all.
Yeah.
I don't feel earthy.
It's just kind of like a green, citrusy type masculine fragrance almost.
Surprisingly enough, that's probably my favorite one so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't loud like the velvet one was off the top. It's kind of, you know.
Expressive. That wasn't a bold enough scent space for Ryan.
It smells great, though, to me.
That does smell really good. I'm not going
to
lie.
All right. Back to Commodities Fragrance Guide to the Universe here. It says, Moss. This fragrance's crisp aroma is one that nature would be proud of. Fresh, green, and earthy.
Okay.
It's a blend of oak moss, cedar wood, and petitgrain.
Petitgrain.
I don't know, guys. I'm just uneducated. Is reminiscent of a walk in the woods at dawn. Wet, cool, clean, and reviving.
What kind of notes we got in here?
You got grapefruit, bergamot. You got petite green or petite green, whatever that fucking word is.
Yeah, we got
okay?
it.
P-E-T-I-T-G-R-A-I-N. I'm not a goddamn scholar, okay, commodity?
Yeah.
Stop putting some hard-ass words in here just because you want to be bougie. Orange blossom, cedarwood, and oak moss. It's kind of funny. We were thinking earthy. I mean, the description, obviously, kind of, especially with the wet, cool, clean, and reviving, it does make you think clean shower, kind of a freshie, actually.
Yeah.
It smells good, though.
I like it.
I do. I like it. It's real zesty.
It kind of reminds me of like a Nichonne fragrance.
Yeah, I can get down with that. Let me smell it again. Let me smell this bad boy. Yeah. Hey.
Okay. As we sniff a little bit more of this moss, we're going to take you in the next segment of our interview with FragDude85. And Grant wants to know how we feel about the world of Zaharoff. Is he trying to catch us in something? Is it a gotcha moment? You better stick around and find out.
Hit that stupid ass play button, Todd.
One last thing. So where are you guys on the Zaharoff fragrances? Because I'm on three right now. I have Citrine. I have Tabac. And I have Evening Mystique.
Okay.
We both have a bottle of Evening Mystique. We had a decant of it sent to us, or an at travel item I was sent to us from Zaharoff.
That's right.
We smelled it, did an episode on it. We liked it so much, we went ahead and bought a bottle on it. So we bought a bottle. Then we did the interview with
We didn't tell him that we were buying a bottle. Yeah. We just went in and bought one.
Yeah. Really good fragrance,
by the way. Because we loved it. Did the episode with Ross. He ended up sending another one out for us. The Tabac, do you have the signature Tabac?
Yes.
I love that one.
So good. And it's, I don't know why there's so much drama in fucking fragrances.
Yeah.
But it's like, to me, I don't care if it's authentic or not. I'm not taking up for Zaharoff. We're not on their fucking payroll here. But it's like, does it smell good? It smells good. That's all I need to know. And, but yeah, I love that one.
I don't know why he gets, why George gets so much shit. I mean, honestly, like, to me, like, he gets more shit than, like, anybody else. And I don't know why. I mean,
I'll tell you why I think it is.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's because he's accessible.
Yes.
Because he's accessible,
for sure.
People are going to take swings.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's taking shots at Mr. Tom Ford or, you know, fill in the blank, Francis Kurkdjian or whatever, because
they're not talking to plebeians.
They're not out here.
Yeah.
And I know that this was a fragrance event, but whenever I went to Essence, I saw George at everything that I went to. Every time I was walking in, he was walking out. He had already been there before me, interacted with everybody, and gone. The guy is just out there, and he's accessible. And so people are going to take shots. Man, I'm not going to be rude. Well, I'm going to be rude. Man, fuck you guys who are taking shots at a guy just because he has a little brand.
And he's passionate about something.
Yeah. What's the big deal? Like, that's the guy who still cares.
I just don't get it, man. Again, I don't know. Look, there's no real leather and, you know, ombre leather. I love that it smells like the way it does. I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah. There's so much drama. Just smell shit and enjoy it or don't enjoy it.
Right.
All those guys that shit on Ross. Leave the guy alone. Okay, so you don't like him, okay? So what? Like, why do you have to, like, go in his comment section or on that stupid Reddit page, you know, and be like...
If I was Ross, or let's just pretend we're nowhere near as big as Ross, but if I was Ross and somebody with the ski mask comes out of the dark and hits me in the back of the head, I don't care if it hurts or not, I'm going to hate that guy.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what these guys are doing. If you pull the mask off and you sit down with them and you're a real person to them instead of, you know, some anonymous internet troll, if you're a real dude, you're going to like Ross, man. Anytime we've interacted with him, he's been a legit dude. But if you're going to frame it up where you're anonymous and you're not a person, don't expect to be treated like one.
I just think some people... God, you had to ask this question. You're going to get this thing, make this a 2-hour special over here. But I think just some people, they just feel, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I think some people just feel like this can't be a job or they shouldn't make money at it. But it's like, we've said this many times. We understand the work just to hit record because this is our daily job. not mm-hmm. this. Our outside of this, our real job has been doing
content creation.
Content creation, commercial work, whatever it may be. But we understand what it takes to record something, yeah. edit that down, put audio to it, everything else, like make a story out of it. It's yeah. a lot of work.
Let me tell you how hard it is. People would rather pay people like me and Ryan here to go make the content for them
yeah.
so that they can post it and claim it for their brand yeah. than for them to actually do it themselves. That's how hard it is that people would rather take money and give it away to get content rather than actually create it. So the hard work that goes into making the content, not a lot of people sign up for that. They don't want to. It's a lot of hard work. And God forbid a guy have a bad day
yeah.
and do a video that is lackluster or something like that. And people come out of the woodwork to do cheap shots. I'm not going to ever side with anybody that is going to come to anything with a bunch of negativity because you don't know the guy. For example, Chris from Fragmental.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's so lovable, it's hard not to like him. But as he grows in popularity, it would be easy to put a target on his back. If you ever meet that guy, he is the most solid, the nicest person you will literally ever meet.
Yeah.
He is one of the most awesome dudes out there. And that guy still gets hate too. I'm yeah. like, who could hate that guy?
I guess a lot of people can hate anybody. It just,
yeah.
It's just immaturity and just people think they're owed something or they think that others shouldn't be owed something. But at the end of the day, man, just Ross in general, I'm just using since you asked about him or whatever, but it's just like the guy has put up over 2,000 videos. These are all like usually over 5 or so, 8 minutes. That is yeah. a lot of time invested.
Yeah.
And yeah, guess what? At some point, it may not pop off in a year. It may not pop off in 2 years. Hell, it may be, I think he may be in year five. Maybe it's year five that it popped off and it's actually, he's getting a return on his investment by and putting all that free time in for a few years prior to that. How are you going to hate on that?
Get a little passionate, partly because we kind of know these guys now or we've got to be around them.
Hey, these guys on YouTube, they're doing more work than me and Mike.
Yeah.
As far as that side of it goes.
Right.
That's why we chose podcasting because we were like, I actually
met Ross like over like last year mm-hmm. and we talk occasionally on Instagram. I was on some of his live streams.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he's a good dude, man.
He's a nice guy. He genuinely is like a helpful dude. He cares.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
And I think George is the same way talking about Zaharoff.
No.
That guy will take the time to really figure out what type of person you are and invest in you. If you ever get around him, he's just been that way. I was fortunate enough to be around him a little bit over there and I was treated as an equal and I'm a nobody. No. You know, it was just nice to see. The problem is with this community is that the humanity is missing because there aren't a lot of physical meetups. It's hard to interact with these people. But getting to be around them, the thing that we struggled the most was with the community at times. And actually getting out and getting into the community made me love it even more. It's my favorite part about this now are the people. And I've become very close, just chatting with some of these guys on a daily basis because you start to see them as real people. It's kind of like it's going to be harder to keep the circle around of somebody like Kim Kardashian or whatever. But the bigger you get, the more popular you get, you're going to have people just straight up hate you because they're jealous that you have seemingly a more successful or easier or more financially lucrative life than, you know, than they have. And so they're going to be upset about that. And it's a grind to get there. Like somebody like George, he has had to struggle through multiple failed attempts in fashion and branding and business to land on something that he loves, he's passionate about, he can put his heart into and actually make a product that people love. So you can be a snob or a snooty person and say that, oh, Zaharoff fragrances are trash, but I've smelled quite a few that I absolutely love. And I could never hate the brand for whatever reason. I don't care. Blame it on bad PR, but at least the guy's out there, you know, putting himself out there and trying to be a part of the community. Just let that die and focus on metrics of good, bringing positivity, encouragement, stuff like that. Dude, why you want to live your life pissed off? I'm trying to have a good day every day.
Right, right.
I'm going to just check my blood pressure really quick. I think that's hard. We have very few haters, but that's just because we have a smaller, closer knit audience. I think if we had a way larger audience, like some of these guys, you know, nearly 100,000 viewers, then we would probably equally have that just because it's written in the cards for us, you know, that there is a certain percentage of people that are going to be rude to you no matter what. Just because you exist and you're out there and they have a bad day, makes them feel good to punch in some symbols on a keyboard and click enter, you know?
And we're back. And to finish this out before the last question in this interview, we're going to smell two more, and they couldn't be more polarizing.
Oof.
Paper and milk.
That's right. You don't want to mix those two. You'll get paper mache. All right. Let's start with milk. Here's what we're... with paper.
Put your fucking... your pre-written jokes away, okay, Mike?
I didn't. I'm just naturally born with these dad jokes.
I was probably testing this shit with Forbes or some shit.
Not at all. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to smell these two. We're going to ruminate on all these fragrances. And then after our last segment, we'll come back. We'll give you our favorite of the bunch.
Oh, man, that sounds great.
Starting with paper.
I'm going to take milk, Mike.
Oh, okay. Is that 30?
It was something.
Who?
You know, I have a feeling you're going to love milk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well.
As much as I know you love it in real life with cookies and everything
else. Oh, my God.
Then this man. You know, there used to be a trend called, I think it used to be a website or something. It was like 70s big. Like guys would get like bulked up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Always drinking milk and shit. I'm shocked you're not like that.
With 70s big?
I think you're going to like it. Did you like this one? Paper?
Tell me what you think paper smells like.
Man, this shit.
Smells like model glue.
Yeah, what the hell? Maybe we're just smelling a bunch of weird stuff at once.
Right, you know what? Milk does smell good. Milk smells like a better version of gold.
I was going to say it kind of reminds me of something Mason Francis Kirchen for some reason. I do not like paper. No.
Yeah. Paper, that's a tough one. How could you go from book, which is basically a bunch of papers bound, put with a cover.
Yeah.
To the single papers.
One thing I can say is there's a town about an hour and a half from us that has a paper mill.
Oh, boy. That town smells terrible.
Why does and every town in the USA has a paper mill? Smells fucking terrible. Always.
Milk's pretty good. What do we got for notes there? You don't have to read the scriptures about them. Just hit them with the notes.
Oh, God. I got it. Trust me. I got to read the scripture on this paper.
Okay. Go for it.
Sorry. Okay. Back to this pamphlet. Paper, a cult classic brought back from the archives. Paper celebrates sandalwood as a skin scent thanks to the ISOE Super. The ISOE Super plays off the natural scent of one's skin for a soft sandalwood trail that is truly unique.
Is that?
It's unique.
Nobody's copying that one.
Three notes on that one. ISOE Super, sandalwood, and cedarwood. Look, we got actual cedarwood. Like oil here.
That's right. Yeah.
And it does not smell like that. It
smells way better than that. Right. Yeah. What do we got for milk?
Just keep in mind that was the cult classic, just so you know. Yeah. Milk. Seeking comfort in the familiar. This creamy and calming scent offers the perfect start to the day. Cold milk adds a cooling element to an otherwise rich and warm fragrance of marshmallow, mahogany, and tonka bean. Hey, yeah, the notes on this, literally cold milk accord. That's kind of cool. Warm marshmallow, mahogany wood, some other stuff.
I kind of get that marshmallow vibe. It smells great.
It does.
That's probably why you think Francis Kirkjian, because some people say that like cotton candy to the BR-540.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
And it's got that confectioner type. Okay, well, we're going to really try to process what our favorite one of these is. When we come back, Ryan, you've got to give, do you want to do just first place or do we give a first, second, third? What are we going to do?
I say we both say which one we liked the most and which one we hated the most.
Okay, we're going to do that. But before we do, we'll get into our last segment with Grant on the fragrance community as a whole.
the pros and cons of it, and friendships.
Yeah. Todd, you know the drill by now, you idiot. Hit the play button.
The one reason I like this community the most is because it's one of the only spaces left that hasn't been infected with politics and other things that are that divide people. It's we all have this common thing that we share. Yeah. And it's all we talk about is fragrances. We don't focus on the other stuff that divides us. You know, if more people would just focus on things that bring people together as opposed to dividing everybody, that's why I always find people in the community so nice and helpful, because, you know, we're all focused on that one thing, and it's fragrances, you know?
Yeah. This is a thing I would tell people, get real friends, okay? Because if you have a problem with somebody not liking what you like, me and Ryan in the car yesterday, I go, man, I love the blue on this new house they're building. And he goes, I'm gonna have to disagree with you. He's like, that's like some kid color. I don't see any adult out here liking that color. And I'm like, I'm an adult. I like that color. And we have interactions like that every single day. And you get immune to people having differing opinions. Me and him do this all the time. We may agree, and we're going to argue just to argue.
We have literally done that, where we agree on something, but somehow it's still an argument. What the fuck is that?
And it's like, if you have real friends, real, I mean, honest, deep relationships with people, it's not going to offend you when you say, I love something. Oh my God, I love this so much. And they go, you're an idiot. That's terrible. You know, I like it. I mean, yeah. Get used to that stuff, people. Come on.
You can totally tell that Mike's traumatized by how negative I am towards him all the time.
Not at all. I think it's been good for me a lot of people can only surround themselves by people who 100% agree with them. And those people always end up being stunted in one way or another because they get too many yeses.
Yeah.
They don't get anybody that checks them. They never have to question. And before long, they're off here out nowhere because they kept chasing a direction that probably wasn't healthy for them. It's great that I have you, and you're always a pessimist, and you're willing to check every good idea I have. And it's like I tell you sometimes I question you just to check your level of conviction.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always like, look, if you can sell it to me, then you can sell it to anybody else. We do this all the time too.
I think I've only sold you on like one thing this entire time we've known each other. That was the other day, you know, with that one thing.
Yeah, maybe so. But yeah, that one thing. It's crucial. A lot of people, again, they are not living in reality. And no. So it's easy to throw hatred or negativity. But if they were sitting in a room with these people, they would never be like that.
No.
And it's like, hey, you got to remind yourself you're interacting with real human beings. This is not some, you know, false digital simulation. This is, in a way, the internet has, you know, be grateful that you can even interact with somebody like Ross, that he's available through whatever digital platform that he's made himself available, or George the same way. He's chosen to make himself available. Try to message Bill Gates. Never get to that guy. You know, the fact that you have accessibility, don't waste that. Use that as an opportunity to encourage one another.
Yeah, for sure. Man, again, mm-hmm. Grant, thank you for coming on the show, man. And thank you for actually starting this conversation to come on here.
Everybody listening, okay. Go check out Grant's Instagram, FragDude85. Before you got on, we were looking at some of the little memes you were making and stuff. We were cracking up, dude. Some of the little selfies you post with the filters are hilarious.
Yeah, and so. Some of the reface stuff. You did one with Chris from Fragmental.
Oh, yeah, on Daniel Craig. Perfect, dude. It's incredible.
He actually commented on it.
Did he?
You see that?
No,
he's like, I'm going to be that dude tonight. Yeah, Chris is great. Yeah. And that was such a great lineup. I was like, man, there couldn't have been a more perfect reface. That was hilarious. So go check out Grant's Instagram, at least. Is there anywhere else you want people to check you out? You got YouTube, stuff like that?
I'm not really on YouTube, but Instagram is the main one.
Okay. Great.
Well, man, thanks for coming on the show, man. We really appreciate it. All right. Appreciate your time and honestly picking our brains on some stuff. That was
fun.
A fun little switcheroo.
Yeah, kind of got to be interviewed a little bit ourselves, which is nice.
Okay.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you. And until next time,
spray it up, y'all. Well, Mike, great interview all around from Mr. FragDude85. Grant, thank you so much. We're sorry it took so long to get this out. We've been backed up. We're now cleansed.
The pipes are clean.
After smelling these, I'm going to kind of go through these one more time.
Yeah.
Book, meh. Gold. Velvet. Moss, pretty good. Paper. I don't, what the fuck were they thinking with paper? Not saying that's my hated one yet, though, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite one?
Moss.
Wow, that's exactly what I was going to say. Dead serious.
Yeah. Moss is great. Runner-up would be Book, but it's basically just a dupe of Santel 33.
My runner-up would actually be Milk.
Really? I don't ever see you wearing that.
I would not wear it, but I feel like it's more pleasing to me to smell than Book. Book just starts smelling like, you know, we smell, I don't think you smelled it, but I had smelled the dupe or whatever from Dossier of Santel 33.
It's tragic.
Oh, God. It smelled like fucking pickles. It was terrible.
Yeah, this would be a nice alternative if the price is right. I need to go back and look at them again. Also, if you're a lady and you like the fragrance Instant Crush, then Milk, to me, smells a little bit better quality than that. Could be something to look into. Again, depending on the price.
That's a solid comparison. I like that. But yeah, I would definitely say Moss number one, runner-up Milk. Now, okay. Which is our most hated one?
For me, it's probably Paper.
It's easily Paper.
There is something to it that could be pleasing, but it's buried underneath a bunch of like model airplane glue.
It is weird. I'm not a fan of it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Younger in life, be making some model cars. May accidentally smell a little bit of that glue, you know, just for funsies.
Oh, Lord. Just see you like putting together a freaking vintage Volkswagen Beetle.
Nope. It was a Chevy Chevelle. Super sport. Paper, they should have renamed like Sharpie Marker or something.
It smells so vastly different than Book, too, which is, I mean, I guess it has to be different, but I feel like neither one of those really represent what it should be smelling.
I'm going on the skin with Moss.
Really?
Okay. Why not?
Okay.
Let's just get freaky, man. Let's get freaky with it.
We're freaky. Here we go.
Yeah.
It smells fresh, clean, citrusy a little bit.
Yeah. It's almost got like that Wulong Cha vibe.
Yeah. I can kind of get down. I can get down with that.
Yeah. I could probably do something with that.
Man, this isn't on the house episode. Okay.
Yeah.
After smelling these, though, so far, and with the, even though we didn't smell it today, but we smelled it in the past, wool.
Yeah.
What do you think of the brand so far overall? And be honest. Are they using industry jargon?
They're definitely not doing that. You know what? I like it. I like the brand. I like what they're trying.
Okay.
They're strong with their naming conventions.
Yeah.
Did they miss a couple of marks? Yeah, they probably did. But if I was behind the steering wheel doing this, I probably would have missed more than they did. I think they did a good job. I would just have to see where the price tag is. I can't remember what I spent on Moss. Too much, I believe.
Wait, Moss or?
I'm sorry.
Wool.
Wool. I wish I'd bought Moss.
Let's see what their prices are.
I can almost guarantee you that I used like a first-time purchase coupon to get a certain amount off.
Let's see here. So, it looks like it's 145 buckaroos.
Okay. For how much?
It's not telling me so far.
Probably 100 mil.
I don't know. Hold on.
Moss is smelling pretty damn good on the skin.
Is it really?
We'll give you a skip it, sample it, buy it here in a sec.
Oh, yeah. 100 ml, $145. If you want a 10 mil travel atomizer of any of these, they're all 80 bucks.
80 bucks?
Yeah.
That's Bullshit. 140 for the...
Hey, what happened to Mr. A? They got their shit together.
That is insane.
$80 you think is too much?
For a 10 mil?
Yeah, that is pretty wild, isn't it? I'm so used to hearing Raja Dove's shit being $75 for something.
Yeah, but that's Raja Dove. This is fucking Moss, okay?
80, yeah. Let's break this down real quick.
140 for 100 mil, I could almost understand. I guarantee you could find some sort of discount code. $80 for a 10 mil is robbery.
Yeah, so basically 10 mil from the 100 ml is $14, $14.50.
Yeah.
Damn. Then they're like, oh, you want to test this bad boy out?
Yeah, that's...
They're like, here's this complimentary bottle of lube before we send it to you.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah. Okay, well, let's give them a skip it, sample it, buy it for Moss, and then let's get the hell out of here. It's been a long-ass episode.
Well, Mike, you're going to skip it,
sample it,
or buy it.
What are you going to do, Ryan?
Let me lean into the mic so you can understand this.
Okay.
Skip.
Oh, I'm going to do the same thing.
Skip. It's all right.
It's good, but it's not great. It's not buy-worthy. The Discovery set was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
If you're interested, go Discovery set. Probably go Bold, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But it was fun to smell all of these.
God, I have a question, but it's so in-depth. I feel like it should just be a fragrance philosophy that we just tease.
Say it, and then we'll decide.
This is kind of a question for us, for the community, and for these fragrance houses.
Okay.
If you were starting a brand, what would be the do's and don'ts to starting it and getting your name out there for the community to trust your brand? Because sometimes I see this. Now, again, I don't know how Commodity started, but just looking at their website, they got specialized videos and this whole thing. For me, from a person that we've both have worked in kind of content creating and marketing.
Yeah, branding.
It's like I see more of that and it feels gimmicky. So it's like I don't have trust in it.
Here's why it feels gimmicky.
Should this be a fragrance philosophy episode or no?
No, we'll leave this here. But I think that would be a great interview to get with some brands and ask them ones that have done it well. Here's why this feels gimmicky. Because they're saying we're getting rid of this jargon, but then they have to educate you on how to interpret their new system. And even though it's like, yeah, an EDP, EDT, whatever that is, industry jargon, but it's been around forever.
Might as well just go with that.
Yeah. So if you're going to get rid of it, you should boil it down, not create something new that you then have to educate everyone on how to use the thing. This is simpler. Look, we've made you a pamphlet. We promise you, this is easier. Just read our pamphlet. Fucking no. Who's going to read a pamphlet? I get what they're doing. It's fun, but it's...
We should have made this fragrance philosophy. Maybe we can expand on it or something. But for me, it's like, I want a brand. I don't give a fuck about a brand coming out. Here's a great example.
Okay.
And it's not to throw shade, but it is fresh on my mind still 2 years later. But like Galleria Parfums.
Okay, here we go.
It comes out of left field.
Yes.
They don't exist one day. Like Earth. And then one day, magic happens and they're alive. They're here. And not only that, but they're here with 7 fucking fragrances. For me, that's kind of overwhelming. I want a brand, if they come out, they just got one thing and they've tried to perfect that one thing to show you that they got something. When it's like a whole booklet of shit, it's like, man, I feel like they had to be pulled every different which way just to get that done.
I agree with you, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. Okay.
You always do, Mike.
A restaurant opens up, Ryan.
This is definitely apples to apples. Go ahead.
And they've got one thing on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
How many people would show up to that restaurant?
Lots.
Less people would than if they had 5 things on the menu.
This could not be, and there's going to be a dump truck out here making a lot of noises. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, did you put the trash out, by the way?
I did not.
Fuck you, Ryan.
It already drove off.
I know. I just watched it.
It just went in and left.
Oh, God. Not again. That's another week in a row we missed a trash here at the studio.
I'm going to disagree with you because...
Give me an example of a restaurant that only has one thing.
Oh, here we go. He's going to...
One thing. Okay. I don't want to hear...
It's got a couple of things.
Here we go.
But we do know, we've always said when a restaurant does simplify... what they're making.
Correct.
Not making a thousand different things. It does make it to where they can focus on a better product. Cane's is a great example. Chick-fil-A is a great example.
Yeah, but
and
even
my God, that. Trill Burgers is an amazing example.
Yes, Trill Burgers is probably the closest, but still, they have four entrees plus sides plus proprietary sodas. So, yeah, I mean, you can't... And that's Trill Burgers.
Guys, I'm telling you, this is the gospel. If you come to Texas, you go, you take your ass down to Houston, and you go down, what dumbass street was it called? Like, Eisenhower or something? I don't fucking know. It's some
I don't know.
Street.
Look, you can Google it. You'll find it.
Don't go to the one at, we're just talking about the location, the first main location.
Mm-hmm.
Go there. Trill Burgers is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Best goddamn burger I've ever had in my life.
Yeah,
because for me, even, they only had a burger and they had a vegan burger. That was really it in fries.
Well, yeah, but then there's different, like they have the whatever, the OG, then they have like the triple OG.
It's still just meat and cheese. You want extra meat and extra cheese.
So then let's just break this down and then we need to get out of here. But you've got a vegan burger. Let's just pretend like the changing the
extra meat patties.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Pretending that doesn't matter. You've got that, the vegan burger. You've got the regular burger.
Yeah.
You've got French fries and you have specialty colas.
Yeah. Four things.
That's still four things.
But it's like,
but even then they've said, and then we'll change it up and we'll give you a different variation of the same thing.
It's still so simplified. But all to say, not to disagree or agree with you, definitely not agree with you, but
yeah, but just imagine they opened up and they go, we've got Moss. Started a brand. What's your brand going to be like? Oh, we're going to do all these other things. But so far, we've got Moss.
God, there's one thing I know about you, Mike. If a restaurant opened up and all they sold
was Moss.
Chicken. No, chicken. If all they sold was chicken,
I'd be
and
there.
It was fucking great, you would be honey on it.
They don't have to serve drinks or sides.
Just chicken.
Just chicken. They could only serve chicken thighs. I would be fine. It's like, where are you going? That place that only does chicken thighs and they only cook it one way. Yeah, I would show up, you but most up. People wouldn't.
I don't know. I think we've all come to realize we're just tired of, hey, the McRib is back.
You know? Yeah. I think the thing is, people want three options. Just give them three. Three's the magic number. It's the holy trinity of food, fragrance, you name it. Faith.
Friends.
Yeah. Three. And with that, spray it up. Three words for you.
All right, guys. We love you guys.
Spray it up, y'all.